In classic strategy making, planners identify their goals and the associated risks before deciding how to proceed. But as the Obama administration continues to develop its official strategy for Afghanistan, the president is expected to go ahead and approve additional troop deployments. Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell explains why.
No matter what your overall strategy may be, we need to reverse the trends that we are seeing in some parts of the country in terms of a deteriorating security situation. That is accepted as the foundation on whatever the president decides to develop in terms of a further strategy.
Morrell says whatever the details, the United States will continue to pursue a military and civilian counterinsurgency strategy in Afghanistan, combining military action against insurgents with support for the local government and economic development efforts. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he advocates some changes in the specific strategic goals he helped pursue during the Bush administration.
One of the points where I suspect both administrations come to the same conclusion is that the goals we did have for Afghanistan are too broad and too far into the future, are too future-oriented, and that we need more concrete goals that can be achieved realistically within 3 to 5 years in terms of reestablishing control in certain areas, providing security for the population, going after Al-Qaeda, preventing the reestablishment of terrorism, better performance in terms of delivery of services to the people, some very concrete things.
Secretary Gates says if the United States and its allies try to create what he called a Central Asian Valhalla or paradise, they will fail. That apparently refers to such goals as the establishment of a Western-style democracy, free economy, human rights to Western standards, and many other society-building goals of the Bush administration. But Gates says the United States does have one very important goal in Afghanistan that it must achieve.
While this will undoubtedly be a long and difficult fight, we can attain what I believe should be among our strategic objectives. Above all, an Afghan people who do not provide a safe haven for Al-Qaeda, who reject the rule of the Taliban, and support the legitimate government they have elected and in which they have a stake.
Secretary Gates supports the expected Afghanistan troop buildup, but he has also warned against sending too many U.S. troops to Afghanistan and creating the impression that the troops are an occupying force. Still, U.S. military commanders and civilian officials believe even limited goals in Afghanistan will require more troops, and they also note that it takes time to deploy the troops once the decision is made. One additional brigade of 3,500 U.S. troops has just arrived in Afghanistan. If the president decides now to send more, they're not expected to arrive for several months, just as the summer fighting season is getting into full swing. And the U.S. commander in Afghanistan wants still more by the end of the year, nearly doubling the U.S. troop total to about 60,000, plus NATO forces and a larger Afghan army. But not all experts are convinced that sending more U.S. troops is a good idea. Among them is retired U.S. Army Colonel Andrew Basevich, now a professor at Boston University.
It's not clear to me why there is this urgency to send additional troops, or to put it another way, it's not clear to me why they wouldn't want to hammer out a revised policy first and then decide if implementing that policy required more troops or not.
Professor Basevich says U.S. interests in Afghanistan are very limited, really just the one Secretary Gates mentioned, to prevent terrorists from using it as a base. Basevich says that might require more troops, but he wants to see the plan first. He also warns that just because a troop surge and counterinsurgency strategy resulted in progress in Iraq doesn't mean the same type of surge and strategy will work in Afghanistan.
The Afghanistan case is just different from Iraq, whether we're talking the size of the place, the history, population, the culture, and on. So I think one should be very careful about implying that whatever was achieved in Iraq, that those same methods can produce a similar outcome in Afghanistan.
The American general credited with turning around the situation in Iraq and now tasked with doing the same in Afghanistan is David Petraeus. He acknowledges the two countries are very different, but he also says some of the same approaches that worked in Iraq will also work in Afghanistan. And in a recent conversation with a few reporters, General Petraeus noted he's already doing new things, some reflecting his Iraq experience and some unique to Afghanistan.
I would note, Al, that there have already been some very significant changes, really, when you look at the magnitude of the forces. And I would also ask that you look at the alliance steps, look into certain other areas like authorities on both the alliance and the U.S. side for counter-narcotics operations. There's a host of areas in which there are important changes that have been made or are in process.
General Petraeus has a team of about 200 people working on a new strategy encompassing Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, and the rest of his new regional command. That document, expected this month, is the last in a series of military and civilian strategy reviews being fed into the White House for President Obama's consideration. Meanwhile, he's expected to authorize the deployment of thousands of troops to help implement whatever strategy he adopts. Al Pessin, VOA News at the Pentagon.